This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
It's Barton Hahn, hour number two. Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, the ESPN app, SiriusXM Channel 80 as well. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests on the show appear on the Goodyear Hotline. Keyshawn Johnson going to join us at the bottom half of the hour. We keep the calls rolling on the Dr. Pepper call-in line at 888-8-ESPN, 888-729-3776, and we will certainly do that. Audio files coming up in a few as well. And then lunch money, a very busy hour, Bart Scott, as we finish off the week. But, you know, as we discussed last night, beginning week two of the NFL, yeah. And what a, you know, again, if you didn't care about the Giants, you would say, wow, what a classic game, what a wild game, entertaining, goes to the end. It was a fun game if you didn't have any type of interest in it, whether it was betting. Although the Giants did cover. I mean, at least they covered. But 30-29 the final on a field goal at the buzzer, which was the first time the Washington's ever had something like that against the Giants. So you have a walk-off win, so to speak. But the play that you keep talking about, that I want you to again, describe like ways that you can keep a player from going out of bounds. And that, of course, is, you know, on the game-winning drive.
Yeah, when I was
– there was a throw to Humphreys.
Humphreys, yeah.
And then he just muscles his way out of bounds, stops the clock, which was critical at that point. And you were talking earlier in the show about – because, you know, there's all the mistakes we'll find. There's, of course, Dexter Lawrence. Yeah. If he just keeps his hand in the dirt, they still win the game because the initial field goal was missed.
Yeah.
But that doesn't happen. 11 penalties that were accepted, discipline issues, arguments on the sideline, Slayton not catching what looked like a catchable touchdown that would have made it a two-score game, all that stuff. You still said, no. Keep him in bounds. On that play, keep him in bounds. Clock runs, and it's not as easy for them. So you're saying you just literally put your back to the sideline – and you have to play it that way.
We run at a 45-degree angle, and we would get to the sideline. We called it Red 88, right? So we had two layers, like the safeties, and then the linebackers or either the outside linebackers would run to the sideline and basically put your back to the sideline, because what happens is he has to run not only in front – he has to run in front of you and out of bounds. He can't run backwards and get out of bounds for the clock to stop. So we'd just be sitting there waiting for him. And what they did is all they did was a little bunch route, and he ran an option route based on the leverage. The player can't be right because it's like a pick play with the guy on the point. That's why they do it. So you have to understand what they're doing. And that's what I'm talking about when I talk about the football acumen, man. Like, we had a tool for everything that you could do, right? When Tom Brady and everybody trying to catch you with 12 men on the field, we got an answer to that.
What was the answer?
Oh, that was Lobster.
Lobster.
Yeah, and I'm not talking about Long John Silver, and I'm not talking about Red Lobster. Yeah, I'm talking about Lobster. Lobster
What's
was cold.
Lobster?
Lobster was code word for my arm, my leg, and you just fall down. Like, yeah, Tom Brady trying to run to the line. Listen, Tom Brady, Peyton Manning had to do this all the time, right? Tom Brady and Peyton Manning would get to the line of scrimmage, and they would go through their cadence, and they would go through them and get to the line of scrimmage so early that he got you in your three-point stance for like an hour. Your fingers – you ever see like – I'm sure everybody's seen this. They've seen somebody playing Tom Brady or playing Peyton Manning, and the D lineman being a three-point stance, and then finally go to one knee, like, what the hell? Try to look at the clock. Like, what the – because, like, he's basically making you tired. So, like, if he holds you in your stance for 20 seconds – because he ain't got you to the line of scrimmage, and he ain't even got – he got no plans to hike the ball to underneath 5 seconds so he can smoke out what your defense coverage is in the back. But he's punishing the defensive lineman.
Because you're sitting in your stance.
Yeah, and it's hot as hell, especially the first week. Ain't nobody in shape for four games. I mean, for like four quarters.
Right.
So we call Lobster. And sometimes you get multiple Lobsters, and you got to figure out what Lobster going to get back up.
Wait. And I need to call this Getting It Done, brought to you by Granger. So
you heard of Omaha.
So
Lobster,
multiple
Lobster.
Lobsters. Are you saying like everybody just falls? Like somebody on the sideline yells "Lobster," and everybody just falls down.
You ever seen fat players running off the game, run off the field, and they trying to get off before Peyton Manning catches with 12 people, get a free play, trying to take a shot for an easy play. It don't matter if it get picked or not.
Yeah.
You call Lobster, you be running Lobster, Lobster. That's they telling you you ain't gonna make it. He about to hike the ball. You just fall. Ah! You just, it's like, ah! Lobster, Lobster. And then Peyton over there looking like, man, come on, man. Really? Like, yeah, Peyton. See you in the play. You be on the ground laughing. You be on the ground shaking like you having a seat. Referee like, oh, my God, what's wrong with him? You think he going to go out of the cart? You think like, hey, we ain't never seeing him no more. Next play, he over there. I'm back. Peyton like, really?
Which leg is it, Bart?
Pick one. It's the left one. Oh, it's traveling. It started in my left, now it's in my right. Oh, it's in my back. Ah, lobster, lobster. Come back the next play. Hey, what's up, Peyton? Yeah, thought you were going to catch me. You ain't going to catch me like that.
Did Brady ever look down at you like, get up, Bart?
All the time. Like, Bart, they know it. I'm serious, Tom. Oh, I think it's the big one, Elizabeth. I'm coming to join you. I'm coming to join you with a football uniform on and no jock strap. All the time, but that's the gamesmanship.
Oh my God, that's
right.
Awesome.
And you heard Peyton Manning on his
so
telecast.
Football players flop, is what you're saying?
Yeah, absolutely. We Ginobili all the time. but listen, it's for a good reason. It's because you're trying not to lose. It ain't like because like the other people they fought. I guess they're trying to get a yellow card or red card.
Right.
But you saw, you heard a little bit of the gamesmanship and what Peyton and Eli said. Like, right? They got to identify the mic and all that kind of stuff. Like,
yep.
Bro, you don't know who the mic is in our defense. Like, because you can't assume with the numbers when we were playing Peyton because we had different responsibilities. We had a Darius Thomas playing squat corner, and he was a 270-pound DN. Like, we used to put Haloti Ngata at safety to make him count Haloti as a safety. And then in the blitz package, the way they had to block it, they had to block, the running back had to pick him up. But Haloti's 350 running from a 12-yard head start. He's spinning dudes like tops. Dude, I saw Haloti get 5 people concussions on our ace blitz. They're like, man, you got the world's fattest safety. Don't matter. He can play safety if it's a safety blitz. Does it matter?
That's true. If it's a safety blitz, what does it matter?
It don't matter how fat your safety is. It don't matter.
But you got to recognize it, though, if you're on the other side.
And you got to block it because you got to count the other people as what they are. When you hear 5-0, that means their 5 is going to take our big 5. But if one of our big 5s is a big 5, but then our little 5 is a really our fat nose tackle, what you going to do? See, but that was the games and the football acumen that went into the games. And you heard Peyton Manning when he had Ray Lewis on his telecast talking about the gamesmanship. You ain't got that no more. When I looked at that game yesterday, I saw some of the dumbest football players I've ever seen. That game was easy. Barbecue chicken. There's no way like a quarterback with the capabilities a Tyler Heineke could ever have did
Taylor.
Anything. Tyler Taylor.
You got to learn the name.
Why? Why? He won't be around for long.
You don't think so?
Nah.
He's going to be at least around for the next 4 weeks.
He'll be around like Chase Daniels backing up and holding clipboards for the rest of his life. He's okay. He ain't no starting quarterback. He's Gardner Minshew. He's Chase Daniels. He's all the people that's just good enough not to get you fired.
They love him right now in Washington. Absolutely love him.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a great story.
I'm sure they love him.
A year ago, he was in school.
I'm sure they love him. They're going to love him until they have to depend on him. They put expectations on him. We all love something when we get free. Have you ever got like a free like coupon? They gave you a free burger or something like that? It's the best burger in the world. But when you go and you pay top notch for that burger and they don't put the mayonnaise on it like you like and you pay extra for it and they don't give it to you, it's disgusting.
My God.
Taylor Heineke ain't nothing but a cheap cheeseburger right now.
Yeah,
I don't. Taking good because you didn't expect to have
I don't agree with you on that one at all. I think he fits the way
they want to
play.
So he's going to be their starting quarterback. So they're going to sign him to a low. He's going to be their starting quarterback. Well, no need to go in the draft.
They already gave him a couple-year deal.
Yeah, that's called backup cheese.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it was. And you know what? You knew he was going to play because with Ryan Fitzpatrick. Look, all the talk was from a lot of people going into this game out of Washington was that Cam Newton should be the guy. Bring in Cam Newton. And now everybody loves Taylor Heineke. They love him.
Tyler?
Taylor.
Oh.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Tomato?
Yeah. And tomato. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Granger's always there to help, just
Lobster.
Like Taylor Heineke. Call clickgranger.com or just stop by. I absolutely love that story. I love that. Like, I always think you and I, when we're around town, I should just randomly say things like lobster and have you just fall on the ground.
That'd be dope.
Fake an injury.
Hey, yo, I'll do
my
that.
My neck, my back.
Yeah, yeah. Give me $50 in the food. Give me $50 in the stamp. We can settle out of court. Got to stay off that crack, man.
But it's a fascinating story, though. But what you're explaining, though, while you say this, your point within the entertainment of telling that story is that good teams are. I mean, you're well versed in stuff like that.
We know the rules,
right? You know, but also you know what you're doing, who you're playing against. You understand it. Whereas Joe Judge. Is battling just keeping guys from jumping off sides or doing something like, you know, taking a penalty, false starts, not even snapping the ball at the right time. Like things that happen that make you look like you're a coach known for your discipline. Your team is undisciplined.
Yeah.
So like what you're talking about, though, is a completely other level of being disciplined. Because not only are you disciplined enough to understand, like, whether it's stay in the stance, whether it's, you know, don't do the extra stuff that are going to get the penalty, don't hold, whatever. You're saying it's beyond that. I can also now think of, oh, I see what Tom Brady's doing, lobster.
Yes. I got a counter to your counter. Like, that's the chess match.
How long does that take to get there, though, for a team? He's been there for – it's his second year as coach, and there's still new players. How long – like, when you got to Baltimore, was that already just a done deal?
Hey, man. Talk about setting a culture, a standard. Let me tell you something. Jamie Sharper to Ed Hartwell to Tommy Polley to myself to C.J. Mosley – to now Patrick Queen. Did the standard ever drop?
No, it's the reputation.
It doesn't matter.
It's the reputation of that franchise.
But for everybody,
linebackers.
Let me give credit to another organization, the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Mm-hmm.
Jason Gilden, Kevin Green, Joey Porter, Lamar Woodley, to James Harrison.
Mm-hmm.
To T.J. Watt. It don't matter. When you set a standard, if you come in this building, if you can't live up to this standard,
right.
Bye-bye.
Right. Renegade begins. You know what's going down.
When do the Giants get back to their standard?
Real
hog mollies, real NASCAR package, physical running game. When do they get back to that? Because that's their DNA. Like, you're talking about franchises that certain franchises have a DNA. The new ones, like the Saints and the Buccaneers and the Cardinals, they've never really had a DNA. But it's certain franchises. The Washington football team is a DNA. The Chicago Bears is a DNA. Green Bay Packers is a DNA.
Patriots.
San Francisco, DNA. Patriots, DNA. Dallas Cowboys, DNA. When do you get back? You forget who you are. You're talking about organizations who have forgotten who they are and what they're supposed to stand for and how they're supposed to play football. The way they play football is supposed to represent that city. Like, you in Baltimore, if you ain't willing to punch somebody in the face, either legally or illegally, you can't be here. If you ain't got a couple felonies, you got to have something. You got to have some skin in the game. You can't be no soft dude in Baltimore. Can't be no soft dude in Pittsburgh. Because guess what? If he comes across your face, if you don't break him, you can't be here. Because we set a standard. It's like, you know, it's like I talk about all the time. Like, I make fun of, like, I talk about Blue Magic, right? I talk about a brand name.
Yes.
General Mills, yeah. Quaker. Like, the Giants are supposed to be a brand name. Physical running game. Bust you in your face. Where did they get back to that?
Joe Judge was supposed to be that. It's been missing for a long time. I mean, the Sean O'Haras, the David Deals, like, those guys of the past.
Stop trying to get these fancy dudes. Forget a Galladay. Forget an Odell Beckham. It was never about them. They were fine with a Amari Toomer. They were fine with Plaxico Burress, right? Quit trying to get the shiny car. That ain't what New York's supposed to be about. That ain't what the Giants supposed to be about. Giants supposed to be about, man, we rushed for 300 today. And guess what? You know what? I think just because I want to, I think we're going right there. Now you know what? Hey, guys, we're going right here. What you going to do about it? It ain't nothing you can do about it. But take this ass kicking.
I've always said this, and what you just said there is gold. I mean, for the ears of any Giants fan out there, what you just said is absolute gold, because that is really what it's always been about. And I think that is something that a lot of franchises lose sight of. When for the most part, classic franchises, when they're great, it's usually there's usually something that connects all of those eras.
Yes,
there's that one thing about them, the one characteristic about them. That you say, well, when they were good, this is why. Then the Giants won a Super Bowl, right, with Bill Parcells. It was defense.
Yeah.
You know, it's everything about them was defense. Getting to the Super Bowl, losing defense.
What is a Giant?
Winning the Super Bowl with Tom Coughlin, those defenses were why. Yes, we heard about Eli Manning and a couple of good throws, but it was always about how they were just so good defensively.
But how tough was Eli Manning? He never missed games. He got his head bludgeoned.
That's a fair point.
And it didn't matter.
Toughness.
So he was tough, too.
Yeah.
Stay in the pocket. Take that hit.
Fantastic. This certainly is. All right, we got to move on, though, of course. And we'll get back to the call, I promise. Keyshawn Johnson coming up in a few minutes. But, Bart, it is right now time for...
Already?
Yeah.
Audio Files.
The Audio File. The Audio File.
Well, we got to do this fairly quickly. So this is one of those stories that, Bart, just continues to be a story for some reason in Chicago.
Mm.
I mean, how many times do we have to ask Chicago, ask the Bears, ask Matt Nagy, ask Ryan Pace? Like, all right, is this the week? Is this the week? Is this the time? I mean, if you're Andy Dalton, like, think about it this way. As much as you want to see Justin Fields, Like, just put yourself in Andy Dalton's place for a moment, and you're that guy that's there, and you realize, like, there's nobody wants me here.
Yeah.
Like, nobody wants me here. But he's that guy, and for now, he said it. I'm QB1. Remember, he said, this is my time. Justin will have his time. And so you ask him, Andy Dalton, like, you know, well, all these people that want Justin Fields, and, you know, do you see him in the rear view? Are you looking over your shoulder?
Yeah, that's one thing I'm not doing. I'm not looking over my shoulder. And so, you know, for me, it's just I got to worry about me. And I understand the situation that I'm in. And but, you know, right now, all I can focus on what I'm doing and what I can do to help this team win. And, you know, that's all my focus is on.
That's it. I mean, that's all he can do. But it's got to feel weird to know that the entire fan base really doesn't want you there.
Yeah, he's not turning his neck to look over his shoulder, but he got some rearview mirrors. So he's looking, he's checking his rearview.
Like
he's
objects are closer than they appear.
Yeah. He feel it.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. All right, Trevor Lawrence, I think probably one of the most unheralded number one overall picks, generational quarterbacks that we've seen from the day he was drafted to his debut in week one. Might have been, again, out of all the rookie quarterbacks we've talked about, we talk about him the least.
Yeah.
It's incredible, but it's true. But listen to this from Jimmy Smith, two-time Super Bowl champion. And his comparison, what he says, Trevor Lawrence does better than an all-time great.
For Peyton Manning's ball, I would have to body catch. I mean, I've caught some of Peyton's balls in the Pro Bowl, you know. Peyton Manning's balls are accurate. But they don't have that tight spiral on the ball. So it's hard to catch it. That's why I always give praise to Marvin Harrison for being able to accomplish what he, you know, catching some balls with his hands. How you catch those balls with your hand when they're coming like that? Well, it's Peyton Manning. I mean, you can't drop balls from Peyton Manning. But what getting what I said was, Trevor Lawrence, that ball, you know, just me looking at it on my phone or on the TV, on my big widescreen TV in slow motion makes me want to get out of my chair and try to catch the ball. That's how pretty it looks on the TV.
So Trevor Lawrence throws a better ball, a lot of phrasing, by the way, in that cut, than Peyton Manning, according to Jimmy Smith.
Everybody knows Peyton Manning throws a wobbler. He's always throwing little wounded ducks, but they get there. They've never been tight. But that don't mean that he's not even close in the same stratosphere as Peyton Manning. Mm. Really, I'm surprised he didn't say Mark Brunell. I mean, he had most of his success, him and McCardell, with Brunell, who threw a beautiful ball, right? How about, let's get some W's first.
Yeah, but it's, like I said, at least we have somebody talking about Trevor Lawrence doing something good, because nobody's talking about Trevor Lawrence. Incredible.
Let me guess, he was on local.
No, that was Canty and Golic.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, how about that?
What?
Yeah, pretty good. All right, we move on. So speaking of Jacksonville, Urban Meyer is saying that there's no chance that he will leave Jacksonville for the USC job. But what about a guy who's been considered a head coaching candidate for a couple of years now and has not gotten an opportunity, and that is Eric Bieniemy, or as you call him, Eric the Enemy.
Eric the Enemy.
And here is Eric Bieniemy talking about being linked to the USC job.
I am where my feet are, okay? So when it's all said and done, when I am focused on the task at hand, I'm not worried about anything where my name is being mentioned. If USC reached out to me right now, my answer would be I am preparing, all right, for this team to play against the Baltimore Ravens.
Believe him?
No. That's what agents are for.
When's he going to get an opportunity, though? And if he gets one, if they offer it to him, why wouldn't he take it?
But it's weird. You know what the difference is, right? Not every pro coach is a college coach. Not every college coach is capable of being a pro coach because it's a totally different game dealing with the athlete, getting out there recruiting. He may want an opportunity to coach amongst his peers in a game that he knows better than most because he's been successful here. Going there doesn't mean, even though they have a great recruiting class or one of the top recruiting class coming in for the following season, it doesn't mean the same thing to him because he probably wants to win Super Bowls and national championships and going through that stuff. Like, he has a better chance going somewhere and building, I believe, a team in the NFL than he do in going to USC.
How many times
is
he
going to
get passed
Alabama
over before he gets frustrated and says, fine, I'll go to the college game then?
I understand that, but I think this is the year where we know it's going to be coaches that get fired this year.
It was last year.
But his name should definitely be at the top. Maybe he gets Vrabel and he gets a Coach Julio.
Ooh. All right, last but not least – out of all the matchups we have this weekend, we have some good AFC matchups once again. This one being, of course, Ravens and Chiefs. And that is two
not a matchup.
Previous MVPs head-to-head. And again, not a matchup for the between the teams. How about between the quarterbacks? How far apart is Lamar Jackson from a guy like Patrick Mahomes, who we consider the best at what he does? Lamar Jackson did win an MVP. Lamar doesn't want to talk about it.
It's not about, you know, man, Mahomes. Not to me, you know, probably to everyone else. But, you know, it's the Ravens versus Kansas City Chiefs. They did beat us, you know, three times or whatever, but that's in the past. We you know, we got a better opportunity this time to come around, and we take the advantage and win in our home stadium. But I'm not dwelling on those losses. You know, we come in Sunday night, and we're going to play.
I mean, listen, Lamar saying what he needs to say.
Of course.
It's definitely going to be linked when you talk about – it's always about the quarterbacks, right? Especially when you have two high-profile quarterbacks going against each other. It was about Peyton Manning and Tom Brady, right? It was always about Drew Brees and Matt Ryan. It was always about the two quarterbacks, especially when they're linked in on a collision course teams to play against each other. Lamar Jackson just has fallen short because he hasn't had the weapons, and he doesn't have the weapons now. He still doesn't have Bateman. You know, he has injured – you know, running backs, he's trying to get guys comfortable. This is an unfair fight this week.
I think it's more the comparison between the two, though, because they're both young.
Totally
they
different.
Both won MVPs.
Yeah.
Now, James Steele, our resident Chiefs fan, certainly wants to chime in on this.
Yeah, three times or whatever. He knows how many times they beat him.
James, I'll give you this.
You have to know, right?
And if he was 2-1 against the Chiefs, he wouldn't say
and
anything.
If the Browns lose another one, like, think about it. The Browns are another team, too. Like, that becomes a thing in the back of your mind, too.
But James,
you can't beat them?
I always want to ask James this, because this is what I need Kansas City fans to realize. Kansas City, like, Mahomes is a great quarterback, but I would argue that they would be a better team if they had Deshaun Watson. I think Deshaun Watson is a much better team. That's why location is
Chiefs,
all about it.
I don't know about that.
Deshaun Watson is a better quarterback than no, it's not. He's a much better quarterback. He just has to work with less. Like what does Mahomes do that Deshaun Watson can't do?
I mean, I
win
think
Super Bowl.
That's because of where the team is.
Well, the arm's
how about
better
right now.
No, the arm's not better
right now. What
the
he does better,
he
I can
be
say
on
it.
The field.
All right, exactly. I'm going to end the conversation by saying this. What he does better. Actually stays on the field and stays out of trouble, which is something that Deshaun was not able to do, and that has cost him certainly time.
I want people to marinate on it. We're going to ask Keyshawn.
Yeah, that's an argument, I think, that is not something you do at the end of a segment. That's a really good argument for the beginning of a segment,
well,
which we
will
have.
Well, just a hand grenade.
No, I like that. You always do that. You're very good at that. Tune into an NL battle tomorrow night as the Giants host the Braves. Coverage begins 8:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Commercial insurance through Progressive protects your business and your dream. Choose from over 30 coverage options at progressivecommercial.com. Coming up, so what's going through a receiver's mind when he's about to drop a wide open, no doubt, touchdown pass? We'll ask a wide receiver, well, I don't think ever did this, next. But first, Bart will tell you about DraftKings.
Yeah, I'll go to DraftKings.
Okay.
Jeez. DraftKings, yes.
Still no? Still?
I got you.
Are you on dial-up? You've got mail.
Download the DraftKings app now and use bonus code BART100. New customers can get a free shot at millions of dollars of total prizes with their first deposit by signing up using promo code BART. Get in on the action now. It's simple. Just pick up a lineup, stand underneath the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. Feel the NFL action like never before with a free shot at millions of dollars of total prizes. Download the DraftKings app. Use promo code BART. This week, new customers get a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. Enter BART to win. Free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with your first deposit. That's promo code BART only on DraftKings, the official daily fantasy provider partner of the NFL. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for more details.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Bart and Hahn.
Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus, presented by Progressive Insurance. Keyshawn Johnson going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline here in a moment. I want to tell you about Dell's semi-annual sale that delivers unmatched productivity and play right now. Save with Dell employees. Save with 17% off leading XPS and Alienware computers powered by Intel Core processors. Visit Dell.com/semi-annual or call 800-BUY-DELL. That's 800. By Dell. As promised, Keyshawn Johnson joining us right now on the Goodyear Hotline. Brought to you by Goodyear. With you every mile on the road to greatness, Goodyear, more driven. Key, what's happening, man?
What's happening?
So let me ask you, because I don't recall you being a guy that's ever experienced this personally, but still, we saw it happen last night, and it was a game-changing moment for sure. What happens? And what did you see being, because we all want to put the blame on someone. What did you see with the Darius Slayton drop in the end zone? Was it an overthrow? Was it a catch issue? What did you see there?
Man, that was a perfectly thrown ball. That should have been 6. They should have gone up by 10. Game should have been over. Instead, they got to kick a field goal, whatever. He just looked like he panicked to me, like the ball got up on him. He let the ball get up on him too fast. And the last 6 or 7 yards, he went in panic mode.
Oh, so when I look at it, right, I'm not a receiver. I never had to catch those and make those decisions. It looked like maybe once Danny Dimes saw that, you know, the coverage was blown, that he could have threw more of a moon ball to give him time to catch up or to adjust to it. It didn't have to be like an in-stride type of catch. It just had to be a catch where you get the ball up. You know, is that onus on the receiver? Should he have laid out for it or maybe caught it, you know, at a lower point, which would have gave him more time to get to the ball? Because it looks like he was just like a couple of, like, centimeters away from being to be able to get two hands on it to draw it in, whether it kept him upright or he fell or not.
The problem is he didn't give with the football. You have to – hands and eyes have to float with the football, and he didn't use his hand and eye coordination. He just stuck his hands out there. That's not what you do. You give with the football. The football is rotating from left to right, or in that case, from left to right, you now have to rotate from left to right with your arms and your hands. He didn't do that. He dropped it, man. Ain't no Danny Dimes. Ain't none of that. Let's stop that. Let's stop trying to run Danny Dimes out of the country. Danny Dimes did a hell of a job, put it where he was supposed to. The receiver dropped it.
Now, listen, me and you are both fans of Danny Dimes, but what about Jason Garrett? Because we know somebody has to be a fall guy, and it looks like everybody's setting up for Jason Garrett and his lack of imagination, his archaic type of offense. What say you? You played for Jason Garrett. Is this the same exact offense that you played in, or do you see any modifications or upgrades to it?
I never played for Jason Garrett.
Oh, you didn't? He went your offensive coordinator?
No, he wasn't our office. Sean Payton was my office coordinator in Dallas.
Oh, okay. He did a good job
last night, Bart. Let's tip our hat off to him. He did a pretty good job. He put Danny Dimes, Daniel Jones in great situation to create some stuff. Daniel Jones had a couple rushing touchdowns, one negated callback for a holding called it
too.
9 times out of 10, they wouldn't even call it. I mean, he did a good job last night. He just did. And sometimes your personnel that you have dictate the type of plays you can call.
Keyshawn Johnson joining us right now on the Goodyear Hotline from Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max in the mornings, and of course NFL Live as well. 3rd and 5, 28 seconds to go. Heinicke makes a pass to Humphreys. Humphreys gets out of bounds, stops the clock. Obviously, getting the first down, also critical there. Huge play as well. Bart's talked about how defenses are designed to not let you get out of bounds. As a receiver, that's all that's on your mind in that situation, right? It's just whatever it takes to get out of bounds. How key of a play was that in your mind?
It's key. Like Bart said, you are designed in situational football to get out of bounds, and they're designed, depending on what the clockage is and what the timeout situation is, to not let you out of bounds. Far too many times you see defensive players and defenses allow people to get out of bounds. It's like, what are you doing? He's not supposed to go out of bounds there.
They just gave him a timeout, Keith.
Huh?
He just gave him a timeout. That's a free timeout.
Yeah, like, what are you doing? Like, that is your safety net. Push everything to the middle of the field.
It was crazy. It's, where do they go now, right? They're 0-2 for the fifth time.
Wait. You need to tell him what you said about Taylor Heinicke, because I need to know what he thinks of the young quarterback.
Listen, Taylor Heinicke to me is like Gardner Minshew. Like, I think, like, you can get excited because he has some good moments, but once people start breaking him down, I don't see a very talented football player. If he goes against any top 15 players, I think he's going to be able to get exploited. Because they're going to have more film on him. I think he's a nice guy, but I think he's a backup at best. Daniel Jones is, to me, a franchise quarterback.
He's a younger Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's a good player that can do exactly what Washington, if you remember, what is your name?
Chase
Allen
James.
Hahn, that's right. Oh. I've had like 9 different co-hosts. So,
how dare you?
If you can remember, Alan, when Rex Ryan was on, not Rex Ryan, jeez. What the hell, Ron Rivera?
Ron Rivera.
If you can remember when Ron Rivera was on with us, he described the type of quarterback he was looking for in terms of what he needed to do in that offense so he can win games. Mm-hmm. And that is what he needs. A guy that doesn't make mistakes, a guy that won't turn the ball over, make a few little cute plays here and there, make people giggly. And then in the end, play defense. And that's who he is. He's that, you know, he's that quarterback. He'll be the starting quarterback from here on out, even when Ryan Fitzpatrick gets healthy, and they'll fight for the division, and he'll give them a chance to win the division.
Yeah.
Now, you're not trading him for this quarterback and that. I mean, that's what he is, a serviceable starting Kirk Cousins, young Kirk Cousins type. What he is.
Okay. I mean, that's right now for them. That's what they need. A lot of people were wondering what they would do without Ryan Fitzpatrick. I think they have their answer. Key, I do want to ask you, though, and I know you talked about this on your show in the morning, but after Urban Meyer says no chance he would go for leave Jacksonville for the USC job, now Eric Bieniemy also having to talk about that, it.
Now I'm going to have to hang up on you because your producer didn't tell me anything about you asking me anything about USC. Your producer told me that I would be talking about the Giants and tied in from the Raiders, Waller. Now you're getting slick as a host and going to slide USC in there. I should just hang up on you.
Well, you know what? The problem I have, though, is that you pretended to not remember my name because you work with so many hosts. I just became a nameless, faceless guy.
What is
your
name?
One of those, Alan
Hahn,
one of those,
that's right.
People. Yeah, I mean, you know, you cut me deep with that one. You know that. It's very personal. So if you don't want to answer, you don't want to answer the USC. I mean, you being Mr. USC, you are Mr. Trojan, and you don't want to tell me what your insight is on Eric Bieniemy or anybody else as a candidate for that prestigious job, one of the biggest, greatest jobs in college football.
West? Are you calling Keyshawn World Wide West? He's working behind the scenes?
He should be.
May cost you a little, may cost you a lot for services.
Here's what I would say. There's a number of great candidates out there for us as we continue to just look at our research and look forward to somebody. Our leadership is going to move things in the right direction. I feel like, you know, it's a very prestigious job. There's a lot of players and coaches that want to go to school here and coaches that want to coach here across the country. One of the things that we value at USC is excellence, and we haven't had that in quite some time, and we want to get back to that level.
Yeah, boring standard answer, as I expected. All right, well, how about John Gruden saying that Waller is the best player he's ever coached. We had Warren Sapp on yesterday. He just kind of brushed it off, said it didn't mean anything to him.
Yeah, I don't necessarily think that John meant that. I think John was excited in the moment. I think he meant best tight end he's ever coached. I think he just was talking fast and he got excited, you know, and wasn't really thinking. You know, and that happens. I mean, because
clearly, we all know that that's not the case. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, we know that. Hell, yeah. He might not be the 20th best player the group has ever coached. I mean, it's just he's just talking, man.
He's in the moment.
You can't get all excited about that.
He was living in the moment. There's no doubt about that.
Living in the moment. Yeah. How you going to have 6 Hall of Famers you coached? Well, actually, more than that. How you going to have – well, let me see. Let me think who he coached.
Jerry Rice, you.
He coached Rich Gannon, Jerry Rice, Tim Brown. Let's just leave it there with the Raiders. He also – Charles Woodson. So that's 4. Those are 3 Hall of Famers and an MVP. So that's 4. Then when you come to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, you – 6 potential Hall of Famers. 3 are already in the hall. And three more will go in. No, 4 is already in the hall. I'm sorry, because Randall McDaniel is already in the Hall of Fame. So 4 Hall of Famers, 3 on defense, 1 on offense, and 2 more are probably going to go in defense with Simeon Rice and Rondae Barber.
Yeah, John Lynch shouldn't be in.
Well, stop.
No, I'm just playing.
He's in.
Man, be quiet, man. Stop hating all the time.
He's in. That's all that matters. Totally understood.
God, you just be hating?
I do. I mess with him. You call me Buck Nasty. I hate my gums because they black.
God. Oof. No wonder Han was thinking about retiring.
We'll let you go there. Thanks, my man. Take care.
Thanks, Keith.
Keyshawn Johnson on the Goodyear Hotline.
That's another discussion for another time.
I don't know. I'm in my emotions right now after what he just said.
Yeah, they cut deep, man.
Tune into an NL East rivalry Sunday as the Mets host the Phillies. Coverage of Sunday Night Baseball begins at 6 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app and 7 p.m. on ESPN. So coming up, we try to make you some money, make us some money as well this weekend. It's time for Lunch Money, Bart Scott. Bart and Hunt, ESPN Radio, ESPN Plus.
Huh? What is your name?
Alan
Hunt. That's right. Oh.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Bart and Han. All right, Bart. As we get to the end of the week, we begin now with our lunch money segment as we make some picks. So let's first go with Johnny Pickhams sent us his picks, as he's out right now, of course, on family leave. Congratulations to
nursing.
Them. He's taking the Eagles and the points, 3. He's going to take the Patriots, lay the 6, not happy about it as a Jets fan. And then the Cowboys, he's taking the Cowboys and he's taking, he's giving, what is he giving? Taking the 3.5 points for the Cowboys. What about Jake the Snake?
Yeah, I have Jake's. He's taking the over 50.5 in Arizona, Minnesota. He has Denver -6 and Chicago at -2.5.
All right, I'm going to go with Denver's. I'm taking Denver. I think -6 on Denver over Jacksonville. I believe in their defense. I'm going to take also... Oh, I'm taking the Chiefs.
Okay, well.
Taking the Chiefs.
Everybody in the world know who I'm taking.
What do you got?
I'm taking the 49ers over the Eagles.
Eyebrows at stake.
Yes, hair follicles.
Okay, if you're in New York, stay with us on 98.7 ESPN. Everybody else, have a great weekend. We'll see you Monday.
Thanks for listening to the Bart and Han Podcast. You can listen live to Bart and Han weekdays at noon Eastern on ESPN Radio or stream the video of the show on ESPN+. Bart and Han, the podcast.